All right. Listen, let me jump on in here. So you know the deal. Every once in a while, I look at the news and I realize there's a lot going on right here in the backyard, if you know what I'm saying. Coming up in a little while, we're going to have Representative Wood, who is in the State House, and she from Alabama, and she has got a bill we're going to be talking about. But let me just jump on into a few things you might want to know. We like to call this home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up. Cook them up. Story on Fox News. We've got President Donald Trump last night at Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It was quite the event, by the way. And it was a lot of fun. And did I not send you some audio clips from that? I did, didn't I? Double check that. I'm pretty sure I did. But no.
I mean, I can go find some if you want me to.
Well, you know what? I know I meant to. But it was like at 4:30 or 5 this morning. So, but yeah, so Donald Trump was in Tuscaloosa last night, and he gave a great commencement speech. What was fun was not just the fact that he was here, right? What was fun was not just the fact that he was honoring students and giving them a perspective on life that is worth having. But the fact is, he was also here. He was honoring our state. And I love that. He literally said great things about where we are, who we are, why he loves coming down here. But what I also loved was the response he got. Did you watch any of it, JP? Did you see any of it?
I watched about half of it before I had to go do something else. But yeah.
Yeah. So the when he first came out, you know, he took the stage and right after Nick Saban, I know you're going to say something about his standing behind the presidential seal. It means nothing to me. But Nick Saban introduced him, and then he brought him on stage, and the crowd began shouting, USA, USA, USA. I mean, it was, to me, it was viral. That's the kind of thing you saw at a Trump rally when he was running for office in front of thousands of the base, the voters. This time he shows up in a place where anyone could be there because you don't you don't come to the event because of any other reason than allegedly because you're graduating, and the families of those who want to see the graduate, you know, get their diploma. So you got a mixed bag, and the crowd's still going USA, USA. Now we're in Alabama; it's a red state. It sure is. They did have a protest down the street, though.
Yep.
A significant gathering, I understand.
One of the most pitiful things I've ever seen.
Do you hear the mocking in my voice right
now?
Yes. Yeah, but Trump did, you know, here I am, an Auburn fan. But Trump did, you know, basically just point out that, yeah, he dominated in the state's election last year. He came down here to honor us. He had Tommy Tuberville flew down with him. I've seen pictures of him on Air Force One together. And then he points out that not only is Alabama a great football school, it's now one of the nation's best basketball schools. So he was honoring the sports programs. He honored the women's sports. He also honored a lot to do with just the culture, the fabric of who we are. And I thought it was awesome. He also, by the way, had some classic Trump moments. Like, did you see the part where he was mocking transgenders in women's sports?
I didn't see it live. I saw the clip of it, yeah.
The whole thing with, you know, the lifting weights mm-hmm. thing. Yeah, it was... So he's giving his speech, and he's looking, and he says, as long as I'm president, we will always protect women's sports. Men will not play in women's sports. The crowd went wild. It was like, it was actually the longest and loudest applause of the evening, was that particular moment. And he says this, he goes, no way they can say this is an 80-20 issue. It's a 97-3 issue, he said, I think. He said, no men will be playing in women's sports. I said that. I classified it with a very powerful executive order. As you know, it's done. So think about that. Longest and loudest applause of the evening on that particular moment. But then there's the protest down the street. From redstate.com, no less. Oh, by the way, they actually quoted our friend Dale Jackson. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Dale Jackson, shout out from Red State for a tweet that he put out about this very thing. So last night you had the Democrats hold their, what do they call that? The Tide Against Trump.
Tide Against Trump, yeah.
Tide Against Trump rally. How many people showed up? Do we know?
I don't.
Like maybe dozens?
Yeah, the dozens and dozens.
Dozens of them showed up. Anyway, they were at a place called Snowhitten Park, which was not too far from the campus. It's an off-campus place, right? Off-campus
park. Yeah, it's just right off campus.
Yeah. The College Democrats, the state Democratic Party, held their Tide Against Trump rally from 5 to 7. Their guest speakers, Texas Beto O'Rourke and U.S. Senator Doug Jones. Full credit to my friend Dale Jackson, who said, so what they did was they brought in a two-time loser and a one-hit wonder.
It's true.
It's true.
Like it's
that's the best they could bring.
It was pitiful, let me just say. And I didn't see a bunch of college kids there. I saw a bunch of middle-aged, you know, upset, miserable adults showing up to that. I did not see this uprising of college students. It was a bunch of old, miserable people is what I saw.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, in fact, here's a quote from Dale Jackson on Red State's article. So Red State points out this was the best the Democrats could muster, and Alabama radio host Dale Jackson weighed the protesters in the balance and found them wanting. Said Dale Jackson, Tide Against Trump is the business casual protest that will be going on for 4 hours at a random park in Tuscaloosa because Trump's giving a speech on campus. It's cosplaying as revolutionaries.
He's right.
And then he said, come on, stand in the schoolhouse door or dress as Confederate to take on the tyrant. This is weak. Mm-hmm. That was too funny.
By the way, why Beto O'Rourke? Why
Beto O'Rourke?
I don't get that.
maybe he's vying to take David Hogg's place at the DNC.
Like I get Doug Jones, even though he's pitiful himself. He is from Alabama, but Beto O'Rourke, you got to do better than
Doug
that.
Doug Jones is all they've got in Alabama.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
The only leader they've got in Alabama. Now we have two members of Congress, but I don't think Shamari Figgers and Terry Sewell even have name ID outside their districts.
I think I saw Kyle Schwichter, whatever his name is, was there too. It's like, come on.
Kyle Swishersweet he was there. He's running for Tuberville's seat as a Democrat who can swear he used to be a Republican. Okay, good luck with that. All right, there you go. That's the first part of Home Fries. We'll come back and I'll get into a few other things that are related. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so part of Home Fries is the fact that Tennessee's legislature just got out of session. So Tennessee's safer. And the Alabama legislature is finishing up. So as a part of the overall process of legislative action at the state level, you'd be amazed how many laws get passed that deal with things that you would not expect. And then sometimes there's things that you absolutely not only expect, but you would require. One of those things we're going to talk about with State Representative Debbie Wood coming up here at the top of the hour is another piece of legislation at the state level to make our election laws cleaner, tighter, more functional. And I look forward to hearing what she has to say about it. Stay tuned for that. Back to Home Fries, a couple things that are happening. I've got a piece here from Tennessee. So I find this interesting. I don't know how they're going to work this, actually. But I got a piece off of WKRN out of Nashville. So in a push to incentivize teachers to meet and exceed expectations, Governor Bill Lee just signed a bill passed by the Tennessee legislature that allows school districts to implement merit-based pay. Interesting. For high-performing educators. And some teachers automatically worry it'll backfire. So I guarantee I can hear the arguments already. You know, we have tried in the past, I'll never forget this, having a piece of legislation that just made sense. It said in a reduction in force, you cannot, like if you're having to do a reduction in force, you could not consider tenure as the number one factor. Well, immediately the teachers union went bananas. You know why? Because the worst teachers are not always the young ones. The worst teachers are sometimes the ones who've retired on the job, if you know what I mean. I don't say that across the board, but I say that as just being a reality. So we had a situation. The reason why this legislation came up is we had a situation in Prattville, Alabama. The teacher of the year, who was only a second-year teacher, the teacher of the year, they had a reduction in force, which meant that it was beyond what, could be, it was basically outside of the control of the school board. They had a smaller student body. They had to reduce the teachers' contracts. The very first person who was let go was the previous teacher of the year because she did not yet have tenure. Does that make sense to you? No. You want to keep the best, reward the best, incentivize the best, and incentivize the worst to become the best. And yet, what they did in Prattville was give us a reason to try and pass a piece of legislation, which, by the way, you couldn't get enough so-called conservative Republicans on board with that one because it was scary for the teachers' union. Well, they passed it something, or they passed something similar in Tennessee. They actually got it to work. It's not necessarily about reductions in force. It's more along the lines of incentivizing on the job. And they're talking about now giving merit pay. Now, we did something when I was in the legislature. If you become a National Board Certified Teacher, an NBCT, a National Board Certified Teacher, which is a higher level of qualification, it takes a long time to get there. But if you can get your NBCT certification in the state of Alabama, we passed a bill when I was in to give an additional $5,000 a year to that teacher, no matter what level they're at. That's a big doings, y'all. In Tennessee right now, what they're talking about is with no specific standards per se, they just authorized at the local level for them to give bonuses and incentives to teachers for exceeding expectations. How does that work? I don't know. I don't think they do either. And I think the teachers union is now freaking out because now people can't retire on the job. And you got one, you know, Democrat, a representative from Gloria Johnson from Knoxville saying, merit-based plans only work to split the staff. Really? No. They help the best to rise to the top and reward people for doing a good job. She says teachers in well-funded, well-supported schools with well-fed students who have plenty of support may like this idea. Look, here's the thing. It's like what I said in my monologue a while ago. You love where you live, make it better. You don't love where you live by rewarding mediocrity. You don't love where you live by rewarding failure. One other bill from Tennessee, by the way, this is important. Tennessee governor signs a bill, got this from the Christian Post, Dateline 2 days ago. Tennessee governor signs the bill providing conscience protections for healthcare workers. What that basically means is a medical provider cannot be forced to do something that violates their religion. In other words, you can't be a doctor in a hospital who's opposed to abortion on religious grounds and then be forced to commit to an abortion. You can't be forced to do transgender surgeries on children. You can't have your job threatened because you wouldn't do, you know, hormone therapy on 10-year-olds. Good law. Very good law. All right, more on that and more on stuff with State Representative Debbie Wood, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two already. Golly, where'd the first hour go? Hour number two on a Friday afternoon. So we've been doing what I like to call cooking up a batch of home fries for a while, talking about things that are happening in and around and amongst us, because I say it all the time, but I mean it. What happens in D.C. is important. What happens sometimes internationally is important. But what can really, really affect your life on a regular basis is what happens in your own backyard, especially in your state capitals. You know, as a former member of the Alabama Senate, I can just tell you, I was shocked when I got down there thinking that I already understood. And then when I got there, I really became clear on how much happens in our state capitals that impacts our daily lives. All right, well, somebody who knows that quite well is on the phone right now. So State Representative Debbie Wood is a Republican member of the Alabama House of Representatives. She represents District 38, hailing from the Valley area down yonder in East Alabama. She's also, by the way, just like every other member of the legislature, she's got a business interest outside of the practice of politics. She's a real estate a business owner down in Valley. And she's formerly a member of the county commission. Let me quit talking and bring her on. State Representative Debbie Wood, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on your program today. I really appreciate it.
No.
And you did a great introduction.
Well, good. You're welcome to record it and play it everywhere you go.
Wow, that was pretty good.
Hey, and by the way, just a point of trivia here. So I used to be a battalion commander in the National Guard, and one of my companies was in Valley. And I did not know that Valley is one of the few communities in Alabama on the Eastern time zone, isn't it?
Eastern time. Yes, yes. It messes with a lot of people because when they make an appointment and they don't know that, they're either really late or they can be early. So, you know, yeah, we're on Eastern time.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're one of the few places in Alabama. Hopefully we can just keep you on track. But hey, listen, you got a...
Do you know why?
I'm sorry. Why?
Do you know why we're only... Did they ever tell you why?
No. Is there a history to it?
Our town was built by West Point... No. Yeah. Our town was built by West Point Pepperell.
Yeah.
We had four small mill communities, and their corporate headquarters was in West Point, Georgia, which is on Eastern Time. So they ran the mills on Eastern Time.
No kidding. So it was like a business thing,
yeah,
not just like...
Why.
I just thought they drew a straight line down, and that was this Cotton Valley.
No. No, it had to do with our industrial base, and they told us what time zone that we would work on, and we did it.
Wow. No kidding. All right. Well, listen, let me talk about some politics with you. So state legislature is in its final days of the 2025 session. You guys, what, next week, the last week, or do you have a little after that?
Well, we're actually going to go 2 days next week, what they're telling us, and then we're going to come back the following Tuesday, probably, or Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes there are bills that the governor will not sign, and we'll have to wait those 7 days. And if she doesn't veto those bills, they will still pass without her signature. She really doesn't like to sign bills that have pay increases, like for individuals in the branches or different things. So we'll come back. We'll save that final day.
Yeah, I've seen that many times. You have to come back and do a back cleanup, I call it. You've got one bill that is still in the works right now, House Bill 30, and this one deals with elections and particularly post-election audits. So tell us about the bill and tell us where it is in the process. Do we still have time to get it passed?
Well, the bill, we have two more days basically to get it on the calendar. It's already passed the House. It's already passed the committee in the Senate, and it was on actually the calendar on Thursday. But of course, they closed down early because Trump was in town and people wanted to be there to greet him and thank him for coming to our state. So they dismissed at 1 o'clock. And so they did get through the Alpha health care bill, which was amazing. That will help the farmers across the state. I'm very excited. But of course, I was disappointed because my bill was two bills after that bill, and they just ran out of time. So now there is a race to get it back on the calendar, to ask those in leadership to put it back on there so that we will have post-election audits in Alabama. We're the last state in the United States to not have some type of post-election audit.
All right, so post-election audit. Some people who may not know get concerned that what we're talking about is changing the outcome of an election. This is not that. This is basically a best practices.
Not prevent anyone from voting. Does not prevent you from voting. This is a way for us to make sure that the tabulators that we use, the process we use in Alabama, you vote on a paper ballot. That paper ballot is counted through a machine. Most of those machines in the state of Alabama are over 10 years old.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't have a cell phone that's 10 years old. I'm sure you don't have a computer that you use to do important things that's that old. We're counting our votes with the machine. First of all, it's programmed by a company. It is programmed, and it is aged. So we need to have a process to ensure that we are protecting the voters, the vote in Alabama. And that's what this will do. One precinct, one race, and each county to ensure that those machines are working properly.
So you do random sampling for the post-election audit. It's not like every single tabulator has to be audited. You're not creating a huge a huge burden on the budget, basically.
The fiscal note is minimal. It's about $35,000 across the state.
Wow.
The probate judges, if they have a clean machine that has not been used during the voting process, they can use the machine, the tabulator, to count. But 30 of the ballots must be pulled and hand counted from that sample. We want to ensure that we have the correct votes in the machine. Angela Shepherd was the one who put a copied ballot in the tabulator, and it counted it. That really concerns me.
Wow. Hang
Listen,
on a second. Back that up real quick.
You're saying
Angela, who helped me coordinate getting you on the show today, you're saying that she actually ran a copied of a ballot, not the original, but the actual copy, and it got counted anyway.
She went to the testing center prior to the election where the testing of the machines, she thought it would kick it out. It didn't. It counted 8 of her copied ballots.
Wow.
Those machines, the machines that we use in Alabama, will count a copied ballot. That's why we're so concerned about this. And if she figured that out all on her own, who else knows that?
Well, you're right. And, you know, and I can also think of some results. In fact, from down yonder in your neck of the woods, right down the road in Auburn, State Senator Tom Whatley lost his election by one single vote. And you'd love to know the tabulators could be, you know, reconciled to make sure everything was good. But that's one vote that changed an entire election.
You're talking to a lady that won by 6.
Oh, wow.
You know, if you're playing football on a Saturday, 6 is a great way to win. But when you're when you've won by 6, you really start to appreciate the voters. You start to appreciate the vote, and you want to ensure that the votes are counted correctly. And we owe that to people who stand in line. We owe that to people that take off work. We owe that to people that go to pick up their neighbor, that their votes count, that are legal good votes, and the ones that aren't are not counted.
Representative
we need
Wood,
this post-election audit bill, and I...
Go ahead.
Yes, sir?
Go ahead and finish that.
I just appreciate you for helping us shine a light. We need this bill to pass.
Well, I agree. I totally agree. So let me ask you this. First of all, who's carrying it for you in the Senate? Because for those who don't know, a representative can't go to the floor of the Senate and argue their own bill. They have to have either another sponsor or maybe a companion bill just like it. But who's carrying it for you in the Senate?
Senator Greg Allbritton is carrying it in
okay.
the Senate.
Okay, that's great. Greg Allbritton's a good guy. He's a budget chairman.
Yes.
He's a member of leadership. So that's
great.
He's a great
guy.
All right, so that being said...
And I'd love for you to give him a call and thank him.
Well, I may do it. I still got his cell phone number. Greg and I served together pretty well. We both wore the same boots every day in the Senate floor and talked about being the Wonder Twins. But so the reality is you've got a bill...
I know, you're both from... You have a... military background.
We do. So your bill right now, with 2 legislative days left to really work, is hopefully going to get put back on the calendar pretty soon. So basically what you're hearing folks out there who are listening right now, we have a huge audience across Alabama, to include down in your way, by the way, coming out of WANI out of Auburn. You just know this. Call your representatives. Or excuse me, call your senators, especially, because it's in their house now, and get them to bring that bill to the floor. Hey, let me ask you real quick. We got about a minute left.
So that's what we need.
Debbie, real quick before you go, what are the other big-ticket items that are still left to be done for you that you see with about a minute left here in the 2 days of legislative time we have left?
Well, I think that we just finished... Last week, we had a monumental week. We passed the RAISE Act that will fund education differently than we have done it for the whole time we've been here. Foundation funding will still be available, which means that schools will be funded by how many students, but they will also be funded by their needs. We have schools in rural areas that are hurting. They have children that have EL students. They have children that have disabilities. They have children that are gifted. And they're not being funded because they're only getting foundation funded. Starting next year, schools will actually be funded by their needs for the first time ever in the state of Alabama.
Yes.
And I don't want to talk about what's left, but I want to talk about how great that is going to be for our state. We did something. It's been tough to get people to understand it. That's been needed in this state for years, and we finally got it passed this year. I am super excited about that. Yes, there's some other things, some heavy lifts that we still need to do, but Alpha getting cleared, that bill getting cleared was huge this week, last week. And, well, this week, seems like it was last week, but it was this week at the close of session. So I'm just excited about that. There's just been some people that are really doing some heavy things in our state, out-of-the-box things that I'm excited about.
All right, well, good enough. We got to leave it there. State Representative Debbie Wood, Republican from Valley, House District 38. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too. All right, take me to the break, JP. We'll come right back. We'll back clean up on this and then head into Dipper number 2. Got to talk about some jackassery. Oh, yeah, we are. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got several text messages. I got to tell you, though, before I go any further, I was going to throw this out there, JP. I get concerned when I hear that every state in the nation has already done something worthwhile. I mean, I'm not looking to just follow the crowd. But what in the world would hold up Alabama from not doing post-election audits? And why has it been a hang-up? I don't even recall hearing that before.
It's just one of those common sense things that you're like, why? Especially with a Republican supermajority, there's too many stuff like that where I'm like, that's kind of a low-hanging fruit.
I mean, at this point, if the states that really do a bad job at their elections, like California that takes a month to count their polls, if they're doing it, how is it we're not doing it?
Yeah, I don't know. Surely it's going to get passed, you know, this session, you would hope.
Part of me wants to know, what's the rest of that story? Is there more to this? Is it possible that we used to do it and we quit doing it because it was a really bad thing? But I don't think so. I think this makes sense. And I can remember, too, being a county party chairman, and I had to go help do what's called certifying the machines before each election. And we would stand there with the clerk, and there'd be one representative from the Democrat Party, one representative from the Republican Party, usually the chairman, me, in that case. And we would actually test the machines, and we'd do a random sampling of testing the machines. And then we would write down that we had been there and seen them and certified them for use. And now I'm finding out that there are people who can still run copies through some machines in some counties.
Well, and people may think, oh, what's the big deal? But she said, I mean, she won her race by 6 votes.
6?
You brought up that other race where it was 1 vote.
Senator Watley.
So it's like, these are thin margins that go a long way.
They go a long way. And the last thing you want is somebody slip something in, or B, here's the other one. It didn't get counted. Like the machine, like it spun fast, or it grabbed 2 pages at one time and took them in. Somebody didn't feed it correctly. Who knows? It was upside down. I don't know. Human error. Then again, computer error. You know, and I was amazed how much stuff we have in our election processes that is still sort of what I would call stubby pencil and paper.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
We're the United States of America. And it seems like this should be.
There are some parts of that I like. Like, I'm for paper ballots. Mm-hmm. Bring a paper ballot. The machine can count it, but bring a paper ballot. Don't do this like we had the hanging chads where you have to poke the hole, or do the electronic where it can be corrupted. Mm-hmm. Anyway, more to come, but we'll see where HB 30, House Bill 30, goes in Alabama in the days to come. A few text messages. Lisa from Huntsville says, I saw a little bit of Trump's speech before I went to bed last night. Awesome. So the last time I saw that many students so excited was when I was at the University of Alabama and Ronald Reagan made an appearance. I did not recall that. He said, as a proud alum of UA, I am very proud he was there and spoke. I guess the pearl-clutching, embarrassed alums haven't figured out that a great majority of these students actually voted for Trump. I think that's probably true.
Well, so the top parts of Coleman, like kind of on the sides, there was some empty seats. Apparently, there were reports that some teacher and faculty members bought up a bunch of seats and left them empty on purpose, is what I saw on Twitter, which is not surprising.
Let's not forget. I mean, the University of Alabama has still had massive problems with DEI. Mm-hmm. University of Alabama is also where the foundations of critical race theory come from. Did you know that?
I do. Yeah.
Two emeritus law professors. And I'll think of their names here in a minute. Husband and wife team, even though she doesn't use his last name, at University of Alabama Law School. And they are the progenitors, the founders of critical race theory, and still teach it from University of Alabama. You looking them up right now? Tell me their names. It was like a Spanish name on one of them. I'll think of it here in a moment. But it's pretty significant.
Richard Delgado and Gene Stefanczyk.
That's them. Husband and wife. Founders of critical race theory, University of Alabama.
But unfortunately, when you get into like a deep red part like that, the liberals there are just more radical because of how conservative it is. So,
one little blue dot in the bigger red state.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris from Sterrett, Alabama, says, regarding that conversation a while ago about the merit-based legislation, says, merit-based retention and promotion works in the world's greatest military. Why wouldn't it work to better our schools? Point taken. At Chelsea High School, he said, honor students award teachers at the end of the year. That should let you know who should stay. Wow. Yeah, Honor Students Award. Okay, I guess that's what he's saying. Anyway, still very cool. Flip from Priceville says, I liked it when Trump told the story of when Tuberville was running for Senate and Trump asked him why he would run for the Senate after beating Alabama six times in a row. And Tuberville replied, because I got them Saban.
Perfect answer.
Probably is. And then Shag Nasty the Atheist says, paper ballots all the way. As a former IT administrator, there's nothing less secure than computerized voting. Shag, you and I do agree. There is hope for the world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.